First impressions make a big difference. First impressions are those things that happen in seconds. Within 10 seconds, someone gives a first impression. We see in the Bible incredible examples of first impressions. Jesus walks into a village, and right away his first impression is that he is one of authority. In fact, he is the Son of God. And he gives off that first impression. The Apostle Paul is written about in his ministry travels, and we see the power of first impressions. 2 Corinthians 2 verse 15, "For we are to God the aroma of Christ among those who are being saved and those who are perishing. To the one we are the smell of death, to the other the fragrance of life." There's something about smell and scent. When someone who has a perfume or deodorant that's strong comes into the room, it's like you can smell almost instantly. Within seconds, that scent goes into your nostrils. As pastors and leaders, we bring the gospel. We bring the Lord into every situation, and we ourselves come into that situation, and first impressions are read on us. And how we give off those first impressions are very important. Roger Ailes wrote a book, You Are the Message, and in this book, he talks about various critical principles about communication. And one of the things he talks about is the power of first impressions. This topic this week and next week, I'll be drawing heavily from Roger Ailes' book, You Are the Message. This is what he says. Whatever it is, try to focus on the first 7 seconds of the encounter. What did you feel and think? How did you read the other people, and how do you think they read you? How accurate or lasting were the first impressions on both sides? Did the tone in the opening 7 seconds carry over to the rest of the meeting? Was the ice broken initially or the tension established? To think about the first impressions. Roger Ailes tells the story of getting an interview from Charles Manson, who was a noted murderer, just a really weird guy, and he got into the press in the late 1960s. Anyway, he was called to interview him and to produce that interview. But anyway, as the story goes, he was a guy, Charles Manson, who did not want to cooperate with anyone for anything. But Roger Ailes understood the power of the first impressions about coming into the room and bringing your presence in there, and your confidence in that room, that people-smart confidence. And in the first 7 seconds, Roger Ailes looks into the eye with confidence, and even Charles Manson responded well to that first 7 seconds. So the first impressions are very important. So as we think about people smart in ministry, we are going to be thinking about that first impression time. Now review the last few days in your life. Did you meet anyone new? Try to remember. What happened in the first 7 seconds? Was it directly or indirectly communicated in that time? How did you feel about this person? See, these are all important exercises in becoming people smart, to be thinking about those first seconds of an encounter. By the way, whether it's speaking individually one-on-one or on a stage, the first 7 seconds of an introduction to a message or an encouragement or devotion or sermon is very important as well. What are those first impressions? Now think about yourself. What sort of impression do you believe you make on others in the first 7 seconds? How aware or self-aware are you of all the verbal and nonverbal signals you are sending to others as you come face to face, or even when you speak to someone on the telephone? Are you aware of what your first 7 seconds is like? How aware are you of the underlying messages sent by the eyes, the face, the voice, the body, yours and others? How much control do you feel you have over these variables? It's important to focus on these questions because they help define not just your communication skills in the abstract, but also who you are and how others perceive you. So, this is an important week of asking yourself about your first impressions. So, let's talk specifically about first impressions. Well, as you come into a room, the most important thing to do is to immediately interpret. Try to read other people's nonverbal skills in every situation. Maybe it's business or personal. In our case, it's possibly in ministry, whether it's at a convention or an intimate dinner or a fellowship gathering or a small group. It's amazing how accurate these messages are. We all send them out and we all receive them. So as you come into a room, if you've maybe not met someone, or even if you've met someone before, that first 7 seconds of every encounter is important. It's just not the first time you meet somebody. It's the first impressions, the first read, whether it's a new encounter or whether it's a continuing meeting of people. What's that first read? Get good at body language reading. Some body language specialists suggest that you can interpret someone's hidden agenda from the positioning of arms and legs and torso and so forth. That's partially true, but it's not so simple. You have to also take into account the other person's pitch, tone, rate of speech, phrasing, breathing, even eye dilation. Now, at first, maybe you're a little overwhelmed. I've never really thought I had to pay attention to all these things. Well, if you start becoming an interpreter, a reader, a listener, a watcher of every situation, you will see things in seconds that will help you communicate in ministry or life. In a lot of ways, first impressions are very well read by children. Most children are natural at reading others. They know when to ask daddy or mommy for something. They know when to keep quiet and leave the room. They know when there's tension between their parents. They know when everyone thinks they're adorable. As we get older, we begin to block these natural absorbing techniques. We tend to need to open them up again, to pay attention, to watch, listen, talk less, notice what other people's words are saying. They're saying the same things as their vocal tones. Notice whether that's true. Because as first impressions, we can get good again, no matter where we are, no matter how many blocking actions have occurred through experience in life, we can get very good at reading first impressions. So anyway, let's go back to that first 7 seconds. Roger Ailes tells a story about interviewing some thugs in the New York, people who were stealing in the New York subway. And as he was interviewing these thugs, it was fascinating. These thugs would make, $800 to $1,000 a day. And when he interviewed them, he wanted to find out, well, who did you know how to rob and how these thugs would do it? They would just stay under the radar screen so they would not get caught. So anyway, what he said is, hey, if I were on the train, would you steal from me? And this is what the thug said. When I first walked in the room, you stood up and turned right toward me. Your eyes looked right into my eyes. And then you looked up, then you looked me up and down from head to toe as if measuring me to judge if you could take me in a fight if you had to. Those kind of people cause trouble. Now, what he's talking about is essentially people who come in and they give that first impression that they are confident and they're reading everybody in the room. Those kind of people usually even are not even messed with. They're immediately respected. This thug actually went on to say that the people who you'd rob were the people who looked down, the people who look fearful and unconfident, whose first impression was they were too afraid to make any trouble. They would just give away their money. As you think about first impressions, understand some of the specific qualities that you're going to be working on, specifically your face. Your face is important in first impressions. Research shows that 80 muscles of the face are capable of making more than 7,000 different facial expressions. Most of us can read if someone is happy or sad, frightened, but there are even other nuances. And we need, as leaders, to get very concerned about our own first impression, how our face comes off, and how others are looking as we come into a room. Sometimes what we have to do is unlearn some things. Facial expression is often the most difficult area of nonverbal communication to master because we are taught early that our faces can give us away. Many people, particularly business executives, and I would even say pastors, fit into this very, very well, freeze their faces regardless of the emotional state they are in. They believe a poker face is a strategic advantage. Don't give away how you really feel. What starts happening is your ability to communicate in the first 7 seconds is handicapped the more poker face you become. Learning new facial expressions. That's right. To actually change how you come off in the first 7 seconds. So this is what Roger Ailes says to do. Still looking in the mirror, think of something funny until you smile. When you do, see if your eyes smile as well as your mouth. It's important not to try to make a smile, but to concentrate until an incident or something someone says comes to mind, which causes the reaction naturally. In other words, God made a real smile and to somehow bring that real smile out. Dwell on that thought until your whole face smiles, including your eyes. Note carefully how your face smiles. So that's right. This sounds a little bit egotistical. In America, that means it seems like a little weird to be looking into a mirror and practicing facial expression. But to do that, there's nothing wrong with that because what you're seeking to do is to serve others, to glorify God. So get in front of that mirror and start working on your smile. Think of a very happy time in your life or a very sad time. A time when you were most angry. Think about a time when you were frightened or concerned or tried to show all these emotions as if you were a mute. Study very carefully how your face moves and concentrate on how it feels so that you aren't just looking in a mirror. You're doing more than that. So when you're not looking in a mirror, you can recreate that look simply by muscle tension and feeling. These techniques really work to bring out the true self in first impressions and in all conversations. The fact is we all wear masks, but it's necessary to drop the masks to communicate fully. Get used to using your face every time you speak. That's right. In ministry, these types of things are absolutely essential. Now here's the reality check. Here's something to really look at. To gauge your conversational skills, you need constructively critical feedback from someone else. So ask a spouse, friend, coworker to candidly appraise your conversational skills, your first impressions. Hey, how do I come in my first impressions? How does my face look? And at first they, well, I don't know. But actually get into the science of this. Take a season of your life, the next year, where these kinds of principles are something that you're developing and taking very seriously. And what will happen is a lot about you will come out. Are you a giver or a taker? We want to be givers in our communication. We want to be receivers in the Lord. As pastors, leaders, church leaders, we have to ask very important questions about our communication style. Are you self-centered or other-oriented? Do you talk too much, over-explain, lecture others, make others people less? Are you a complainer? Or do you draw people out on topics they're clearly interested in discussing. Are you a sympathetic listener? Do you smile, laugh easily, respond to others genuinely? I will tell you, you might have this calling of God. It's rooted deep in your heart. But if you come off as insincere, as the answer person who looks down on people, who always talks, who over-explains things, lectures others that makes people feel less, if you're complaining, blaming, being someone who's negative, being sort of someone who comes into the room and just brings negative energy, this will not work in the ministry. Let me say it again. This will not work in the ministry. People will be repelled from you, not interested in even hearing your message, because at the core, you are the message. And if you are not giving off that love and that joy and that encouragement, because in Christ and the power of the resurrection, that's the joy and encouragement we have. So, in our conversations, are we interesting? Do you have something interesting to say right away in the first 7 seconds? Do you have something interesting to communicate about who you are? Can you discuss subjects besides your job or home life? Do you occasionally use colorful language? Now, as Christians, we don't mean by colorful language, you know, a swear word or something like that. What we're talking about is colorful language about the joy of life. Do you avoid trite conversations? How's the weather? You know, if you're kind of like, well, how's the weather? I'm going to make trite conversations so I don't have to talk. Who are you? In your first 7 seconds and in all your conversations, these are critical issues. Do you encourage monologues or dialogues? Do you ask others open-ended questions that draw them out? Or are your questions closed, prompting just one-word responses? Open-ended questions often begin with how, what. They elicit detail. Who are you? As you communicate to others, who are you? Do people feel the warmth of your communication? Do you pontificate, or do you ask others how they feel about a subject? Pontificate means just tell. You know the answers and you're just telling. It's like doing a monologue type of sermon or a sermon to someone and you're not really even knowing how someone feels about a subject. Are you open, candid, direct, friendly, or are you tight-lipped, secretive, elliptical, and aloof? These are all important aspects of communication that come right at the beginning in that first 7 seconds and beyond. So, let me ask you this question. How many of the top 10 downers do you practice? Now, I want you to know that whether you are one-on-one with someone, or whether you're on stage, or whether you're with a small group of people, that people smart understanding applies to every situation. In a sense, when you come into a room, you enter a stage. You're on. That's your people smart stage right there. It's, in some ways, we make a difficult distinction between public speaking and private speaking. In some ways, that takes us down the wrong trail. We have to be the same person wherever we are, whether it's one-on-one or whether it's on a stage. So we have to watch who we are in these first impressions. And here's my question. How many of the top 10 downers do you practice? And here's Roger Ailes' list. Lack of initial rapport with listeners. So you come in and you basically just sort of look away, slink to where you're going to be. Like as a leader, you come into a church and the first thing you want to do is walk around a little bit, if you have time. Now, again, if you have to be somewhere, maybe all you have is a initial rapport with a little smile. Hey, George. Hi, Liz. Hey, okay, I'm looking forward to seeing you a little bit later. I mean, there's rapport. If you're working, doing bivocational ministry, you come into your office and, hi, how you doing? Hey, how's it going, Bob? Hey, Sue, what's going on? you know, you establish that initial rapport whenever you come into a room and there's someone that's you know there, or maybe there's a someone that you don't know. It's that first rapport. So, of those downers, how do you do on number one? Lack of initial rapport with listeners, is that a top 10 downer that you do? Or here's another one, stiffness or woodenness in use of the body. This is another big downer where you just come in, you keep all your emotions and everything stiff in your eye contact. You're not making it with no one. So you just look like I am closed. Don't communicate with me. Number three, presentation of materials intellectually oriented. Speaker forgets to be involved in the audience emotionally. Okay, so you come into a room, and anytime you say something, it's some I'm the answer man and some intellectual thing. I'm not really dealing with the elephants in the room. And again, when I'm saying these types of things, I'm not talking about these big issues where now you become the troublemaker. I'm just talking about, are you basically just someone who just like rattles something off? Do you bring people down by how smart you are, but still how you're not connecting with others? Roger L. mentions number four, speakers seem uncomfortable because of fear of failure. Many people live like that. Maybe you live like that. You've been beaten down. You've been harassed. You sort of look at people as the enemy. I'll tell you right now, that's a downer. You say, well, you don't know my life. I don't know your life. But I know in the presence, in ministry, and with people, to just be uncomfortable because you've had a bad past, you know what? You have to figure out how to forgive someone then, how to get over the bitterness, how to be forgiven by God, how to find the joy of salvation. If we don't have the joy of salvation in ministry, people are going to see right away, oh, you know, it's just an intellectual thing for that person. Now, I know that number four is very difficult. And I know I don't know everybody's situation. But I know this. People, smart people, understand that they are going to bring positivity to every situation. If you're a downer because you're fearful, if you're someone who basically just comes into a room running scared, these are issues to bring to the Lord. Now, I know this is a process, and for some of you, it will take a while. But still, in your heart and in your mind, learn how to feel comfortable with who God made you. Number five, poor eye contact and facial expression. Come walk into the room, and your eye contact is froze, and your face is froze. Do you do that? Is that you? When someone walked into the room and they say hi to you, you just basically give a fleeting glance, keep your facial expression cold stone, hi. Is that you? Is that a downer that you practice? What about just the lack of humor? Or when you do say something funny, it's to put someone down, or it's passive aggressive, or it's humor that basically give somebody a hard time. You know, as a pastor, I can tell you, don't give anybody a hard time about anything. When I've seen this. I've seen pastors' ministries come down because their way they used humor was just to sort of give little lobs or be a little sarcastic. Sarcasm out. If you have any hint of sarcasm, get rid of it now. Bury it at the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ. Sarcasm, there is no place for sarcasm in ministry. It will come back and hurt you. I speak as an experienced pastor of over 30 years, and I will tell you that anytime I even unknowingly use sarcasm, it has never got the result that I was maybe hoping for when I said that type of humor. Even sarcasm toward people outside our community, toward our world and all that. Just do not practice sarcasm. Sarcasm with people we don't agree with. Sarcasm with bosses that don't understand us. Sarcasm is out. So find a way to be funny or to be humorous. You know, and what I've learned over the years is poke fun more at yourself in a fun way. Or if something's cute about someone and you mention it in a way that blesses them and, you know, that they feel good about themselves, that's the type of humor to utilize, but really be careful. In fact, maybe buy a book about humor, about appropriate humor. 7, speech direction intent unclear due to improper preparation. Now, that can happen, okay? So let's say we're going to go out and you know, meet somebody that we have never known. And it's a little bit stressful. For me, I'm seeking to always raise resources for Christian Leaders Institute for free ministry training. And sometimes I have experience where I'm going into a meeting and I'm really not clear what I'm going to say. And so it's then in the first 7 seconds, I'm like confused. My mind is unclear. So more and more, I am working on being prepared for every meeting, especially meeting new people that I have an appointment to meet that I've never met before. So as you look at the many of the top 10 downers, and if you practice any of them, you know, you can feel bad when you're listening to this list. Or you could actually say, okay, I see another area to improve. Here's one, inability to use silence for impact. Sometimes we can just talk and talk and talk, but we just can't be quiet a moment. Like humor, a pregnant pause to learn how to give that is very important in a one-on-one conversation and in conversations at any level. 9, lack of energy, causing inappropriate pitch patterns, speech rate, and volume. You know, lack of energy. If you just come up and you come into a new conversation or you're public speaking and you're basically just like looking tired. And here's something that people do. It's very annoying. Yawning. Oh, how many times will there's a new relationship and within a few minutes, whether someone feels stressed, they just, how did you feel when I just yawned? You probably felt lack of energy. When you come into a relationship and you're talking to someone and you're a yawner, that is offensive. That is not people smart. You say, that's not offensive, I'm just yawning. Take your yawning and put it somewhere else. Do not be a yawner. Do not drain energy in any conversation. You know where I put that yawning is when you go to bed at night. Oh, but I go to bed too late, so I'm tired in the day. Okay, then go to bed earlier. 10, use of boring language and lack of interesting material. Now you say, oh, that sounds like this is for a speech. No, this is in general in life. You say, well, my life is boring. Well, read some books. Figure out interesting conversation. And as a pastor, there's a lot of stuff you can do that's interesting conversation. You know, if you got a 14-year-old young man and you're a pastor leader and you talk to them, and usually a lot of them like soccer or football, hey, bring it up. Hey, do you like soccer or football? Do you like golf? I mean, those are the types of things. Interesting to your audience, the people you're coming with. You know, as a pastor, you know, what I love to do is listen to all of the stories of all the parishioners and all the people that I've come in contact with, hear their stories. You know what it does? It gives me an index of interesting conversation. So let's say I meet someone who likes knitting. So I ask them all about knitting. They said, oh, glad to tell me about it. Well, a year later, I meet someone else who likes knitting. So now I see that they like knitting, so I say, now in knitting, I understand that these are some of the problems of making a really good garment. And people, then they respond and they tell more, and then it builds to more. And in 5, 10, 15, 20 years in the ministry, you have a whole file cabinet in your brain of interesting conversations. So, how many of these top 10 downers do you practice? Now, at this point, some of you might be offended. and say, you know what, no one can be this perfect. Here's my question for you. Do you really want to master communications and your first impression? Proverbs 27, verse 17 is, iron sharpens iron, so one man sharpens another. So is this something you're going to take serious? And understand, it will not all change in a day. I am still dropping the ball on certain communication techniques, and my personality sometimes gets caught up because we're all sinners. We are all in process of sanctification for our salvation and our character, but also in improving upon the creation that God has made us. I will tell you this, if you get offended, and I am who I am, and that's who I am, and I'm just going to be a person who puts up masks, I'm just going to be this person who shuts people down, I don't care, then they're just going to take me for who I am or forget it. Okay, if you do that, you will hurt your ministry. My intent today is not to say, oh, I know it all and you know nothing. My intent today is to say, we are all in a journey about this, and we all need to be encouraged to be more and more people smart. Because as we are more and more people smart, our impact will be greater. So, dear brother or sister, my intent is to help you become people smart in ministry and in life. And you will find as you go forward on this journey that people will respond, that your personality will not get in the way of the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ. So I encourage you to continue on this journey. Take this journey. Take the next step until more and more you are proclaiming the love of God unhindered by people issues that could trip you up.